program. My name is Gary Zimak. It's great to be with you. Thank you so much for stopping by. Hope you'll be able to stick around for the entire program. This week, we will look at the Mass readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Here's the message, being prudent in what really matters. We're going to talk about prudence, what it is not. Is there a difference between being prudent in the spirit, in the things of the world, and in being prudent in spiritual matters? Well, you probably have a feeling there is a difference, and yes, there is indeed a difference. We're going to talk about that. We're going to hear what Jesus has to say about using our intellect for good. That's going to be in today's gospel. We'll look at all the Mass readings for the 25th Sunday at Ordinary Time. And I think it's an important message. You know, we sometimes hear this word prudence kicked around a lot without really stopping to think too much about what it exactly means. So we will talk about that today. And again, I thank you for stopping by, for joining me on the program. And before we go any further, let's turn to our Father in heaven. Let's turn to him in prayer and ask him for the grace that we need to do a good job hearing his message and to go out and live it in the world. So I invite you to join me as we begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for your desire to help us to navigate the difficulties of life and arrive safely in heaven. That's what you want for us, Father. Even though it can sometimes seem overwhelming, we have to remember, and we need your help to remember this, that you want to help us and that you can help us. So today, Father, we ask you to give us what we need, spiritually, materially, and emotionally. Help us to not panic, to always remember to turn to you, and please just give us the assistance that we need, Father. We pray for our family and friends. We pray for anyone who's asked us to pray for them. We pray for our church, for all members of our church. We pray for all in the United States. We pray for our leaders in the United States and all citizens. We pray that your name, Father God, can become once again prominent in our country. And we pray for all around the world who are struggling with war, with terrorism, with religious persecution, with government oppression, with poverty, any kind of natural disasters or weather-related issues. We pray for all leaders around the world that they can lead the people in a way, Father, that is really good for them and also in a way that pleases you. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for all of the souls in purgatory. We pray for anyone who is discouraged today. We pray for anyone who is homeless. We pray for all those who are looking for work, and we especially lift up those who are unemployed at the moment. Father, I also ask you to give me the words today as I discuss the scripture readings. Give me the words. Give me, direct my thoughts and my words so that I can deliver your message. And please, Father, open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we can hear what it is that you have to say and put it into practice in our lives. Father, as we always do, we ask these things in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, as always, thank you for praying with me. I really do appreciate it. There are times, and this is, I didn't plan to say this, but this is something that just popped into my head now. There are times when we pray and we don't feel a thing, and we're tempted to think that, you know, maybe these prayers aren't making that much of a difference. And honestly, it's not always a concrete thought like that that occurs. You know, okay, these prayers aren't helping. No, sometimes it's just a gradual belief that these prayers aren't making a difference. We don't even have to specifically think of that thought, but just there's times when we start to think, well, something else I can do. Maybe something else is more important. And what happens if we start thinking like that? We stop praying. Don't ever do that. Because I am somebody who tends to really struggle to rise above my feelings. But I know I have to do that. So as an example, there are times, many times, when it feels like my prayers aren't having an effect, and I feel myself getting a little bored, you know, and I have a feeling maybe you have been there once or twice in your life, but I've learned to force myself, and I credit that to the Holy Spirit. I credit that to your prayers, my prayers, everybody who's praying for me, that when I don't feel like praying, that I do it anyway. And that's what love of God is all about. It's perseverance. And we're going to talk about prudence. I'm going to save that for when we actually begin to talk about the Mass readings. But that's what prudence is all about. It's knowing what to do and what not to do. And again, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So don't ever think that your prayers aren't having an effect. They might not be having the effect that you want, but through faith, we believe that God hears all prayers and he acts on them at the right way, in the right way, and at the right time. And that's where the faith comes in. We have to trust that God knows what's best. And that's a choice. It's not a feeling. So hang in there. You know, there's times when we're all going to get a little discouraged. We're going to feel discouraged. But that's when our faith, we can really lean into our faith and choose to believe that no matter how we feel, that God is hearing and will answer in the right way at the right time. All right, before we go on with the Mass readings, every week for the next several weeks on the program, I said we're going to look at my new book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. Each week, I've been looking at one chapter from the book and then looking at one of the reflections, one Bible verse and a short reflection from that chapter. This week, we're up to chapter 5, When You Feel Lonely. Now, if you're somebody who feels lonely right now, this verse is for you. Here's the couple sentences I wrote at the beginning of the chapter on when you feel lonely. Loneliness is one of the most painful emotions we can experience. Although it's a very common feeling, it's not based on reality. Even though it may feel like it at times, you are never alone. You are constantly in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as well as countless angels and saints. Despite the fact that we are never truly alone, the feeling of loneliness can be very real. In this chapter, we'll look at a variety of verses, reflections, and prayers designed to lessen the feeling of loneliness that you are experiencing. So this chapter is devoted to those who are feeling lonely. And look, there are times when you are going to feel lonely, but that doesn't mean that you're alone. Again, rising above the feelings, it's so important. So for the verse, one of the verse that I'm going to choose to talk about today comes from the chapter on loneliness, and it's a very familiar one, Psalm 22:1, my God, why have you abandoned me? Now, there are times when you're going to feel that God has abandoned you. And what I say in the book is the best way to deal with this feeling of abandonment is to bring it to prayer. Instead of trying to ignore it, why not tell Jesus exactly how you feel? And then I make the point, feelings aren't facts. You may feel as if Jesus has abandoned you, but he hasn't. He might be sleeping, but he's still with you. So go ahead and wake him up. Tell him exactly how you feel. And I conclude this reflection by saying, Jesus might be able to sleep through a storm, but he can't sleep through the cries of his beloved disciples. Let's turn to him now. And I would encourage you, if you are feeling lonely, one of the best ways to counter that is with the reality of the truth. The truth is you are not alone. Yes, your friends may have deserted you. You may be physically alone in your room right now. You might be unable to get out of the house, but I want you to know that God is with you. So I would encourage you to turn to him now and ask him to help you to really believe in his presence. I was going to say feel his presence, but we don't always feel it. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But more important than feeling his presence is believing in his presence. And if you remember when I started my prayers at the beginning, and I try to do this every time I pray on the show and in my personal prayer life as well, is I remind myself God, you are with me. Heavenly Father, I know that you are with me. Despite the fact I might not feel it, I know that you are with me. I'm going to encourage you to do that. And I promise you, you are not alone. God is with you. Jesus is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. The Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph and all the angels and saints are with you. Turn to them. Ask them to help you. And continue to ask the Lord to help you to believe in his presence. And last but not least, I pray for you every day. So even though I may not know you by name, even though I may not mention your name every day, I pray for you. I pray for all of my audiences, everybody who reads my books, who has ever heard me speak, who listens to the radio program. I pray for you every day. And God knows who you are, right? And that's the important thing. So take it from me, no matter how it feels, you are never alone. If you want to find out more about my latest book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard, or if you want to find out about any of my books or invite me to speak at your parish, you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Just want to let you know that it's interesting this year. My Lenten speaking engagements have been very light, which is, boy, this is the first year, and I don't know how many years that this has happened. I've been giving these Give Up Worry for Lent parish missions for several years now. This is a light year. However, this is odd. In the past week, two parishes have contacted me. So I don't know whether it's parishes or booking later or what the reason is. But whatever the case, I have openings for Give Up Worry for Lent for this Lent, for Lent of 2026. So therefore, if you want to bring me into your parish, doesn't have to be for Lent. I still have some openings for Advent, too, of 2025. If you want to do that, please visit followingthetruth.com and contact me through the website, and we'll talk about how we can set it up so that I can speak at your parish or your conference. That's followingthetruth.com. All right, I'm going to take a sip of my water, and then let's get started. Let's look at these Mass readings now as we talk about prudence. These are the Mass readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as I like to do sometimes, just to give you an idea of where we stand in the church year, is to remind you that there were 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time. The 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So 34 weeks in the church year. We're at week 25 right now. So we're getting toward the end. And then after that, after the 34th week, we begin Advent. That's really hard to believe, isn't it? But it just gives you an idea of where we stand. And in the weeks to come, you're going to be starting to hear more and more, and the church does this by design, about end times, the end of life, getting prepared, being ready. So what the church wants to do, Advent is a season of preparation, preparing to welcome the Lord, right? So this is sort of, in the weeks to come, you'll hear more of a preparation for the preparation, if you want to call it that. Get ready to get ready. And that's a good thing, so that we just don't jump into Advent without being prepared. The church encourages us to start to get ready, to get ready to get ready, because we don't want to be negligent when it comes to preparing to meet the Lord at Advent, at the end of our life, at his second coming. You know, there's multiple comings of Jesus. We want to make sure we're ready. So speaking of being ready, let's look at the gospel for this Sunday's Mass. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe me, my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. And he said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another, the steward said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, "Here's your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So there's a lot going on here, and the story can be a little confusing, but it's a great story. This is a really good message. We see here Jesus telling this parable of a rich man who had a steward. Somebody was taking care of the rich man's property. And the man realized, that the boss realized, that the guy working for him was squandering his property. He wasn't doing a good job. So he said, all right, buddy, prepare a full account of your stewardship because you can no longer be my steward. In other words, this guy's getting fired. So he's saying, all right, get all your business in order. You're out of here. And the man who was getting fired, the steward, the one responsible for all of the goods of the master, he started getting creative and he realized, look, I'm in big trouble. I'm not going to have a way to support myself. So what I will do is call in my boss's clients and say, basically, your debt's forgiven. Whatever you owe my boss, forget about it. I want you to pay me half of that amount. Now, this was stealing. This wasn't his money to play around with. But this guy was creative because he wanted to get on the good side of those clients who worked for his boss, right? So maybe they could help him out because he was going to be out of work. So he's very creative here. Again, not ethical, but creative. And Jesus comments on this by saying, the children of this world are more prudent. And prudence is, you could look at prudence in a number of different ways. There is an earthly prudence or a human prudence, which is knowing what to do and what not to do. Spiritual prudence, on the other hand, is the same concept. But one is knowing what to do when it comes to earthly matters, how to invest your money, how to save money, how to get the best deal when you're buying a car, you know, that kind of thing, how to angle for a raise at work. Spiritual prudence is knowing what to do and what not to do in order to get to heaven. And Jesus is saying, look, you guys on earth, you're pretty good when it comes to finding a way to make money for yourself. But when it comes to getting to heaven, you're not preparing. And that's the message for us. Jesus is telling us in this parable, you better prepare. You know, you're not going to just cruise into heaven because you're a member of the Catholic Church. You got to do something. Yes, you only get to heaven because of God's grace. However, you have to cooperate with that grace. And that's the reminder for us. Again, as we get toward the end of the church here, you're going to hear more and more of these stories. Use your brain to do what it takes to get to heaven, not necessarily to make your life on earth comfortable. You know, when it comes to gaining money and to having a good life on earth, we're pretty good at using our brains and being creative. But when it comes to sacrificing and doing the things necessary to get to heaven, we're not always that good. And Jesus is basically saying, wake up, learn to be prudent in what really matters. Sound good message, right? I mean, it's pretty clear. Let's look at the first reading from the book of the prophet Amos, chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. When will the new moon be over? You ask that we may sell our grain and the Sabbath, and that we may display the wheat. We will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the lowly for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the refuse of the wheat we will sell. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. The prophet Amos is calling out to people who are cheating others, who are taking advantage of the poor, you know, who are doing whatever they can to make a buck at the expense of others. Again, using that creativity of our intellect, of their intellect, to make life on earth comfortable for themselves. It's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to use our brains to get to heaven and to use our faith and to be willing to work hard at what it needs to be done in order to get closer to God and to make it to heaven. Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 113. Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor. Praise you, servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever. High above the nations is the Lord. Above the heavens is his glory. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high and looks upon the heavens and the earth below? This is the important part. This is the part where really ties this message in together. He raises up the lowly from the dust. From the dunghill he lifts the poor to seat them with princes, with the princes of his own people. Look, we're called to share what we have, time, talent, and treasure, with those who are less fortunate. It's not always financial. Sometimes it's just our time. Sometimes it's we need to share Jesus with those who don't know him. And in doing that, right, in doing that, in sharing the Lord with others and helping them, comforting them in some way, we're being prudent. We're doing what we need to do in order to stay close to God and one day live with him forever in heaven. But sometimes we choose to go the selfish route. I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I don't want to help other people. Sometimes I'm lazy. Sometimes I'm thinking of myself. That's our fallen human nature that kicks in. And it's work to rise above that, to choose to cooperate with the grace God gives us to do the right thing, even when we might not feel like it. And also, in a sense, we can flip it around and look at us as the poor, because without God's grace and God's mercy, none of us can get to heaven. So we are dependent upon him and his goodness to get to heaven. So in a sense, we're the poor because we can't do anything to get to heaven on our own. All we can do is cooperate with the grace the Lord gives us. If it wasn't for his grace, there's no way we're going to get to heaven. If it wasn't for what Jesus did on the cross, all the good works in the world aren't going to bring you and I to heaven. Yes, we still have to do something. We have to cooperate with that grace. We have to use that grace he gives us. We have to listen to what he says and follow his commands. But we still need his grace in order to make it to heaven. Let's look at the second reading, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petition, and thanksgiving be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth. I am not lying. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish, then, in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. So this reading teaches us that God wills everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to get to heaven. And that happens through the mediation of Jesus, what he did on the cross. However, you and I have to do the right thing. Again, cooperate with that grace. We have to do something. It's not enough to just listen to Jesus speak through the Gospels, but we have to do something. We have to respond to his message. That's the way you and I are going to make it to heaven. So be prudent. Know the right thing to do in order to please God and to get to heaven. And prudence is a virtue. It's got its human element. You know, we have a human intellect, but also there is a divine or supernatural prudence that, with the help of God's grace, helps us to know the right thing to do and the wrong thing to not do. But then still, it's up to us to do that. Don't use your brain and all of your resources and talents just to make money for yourself and just to be comfortable and just to get everybody to like you. That's not why we're here. We're here to love God and to love other people, you know, and I fail at this a lot. And that's why it's good that we have scriptures like this, so that we can be reminded that something's expected of us. God put you and me here for a reason. He wants us to serve, to know, love, and serve Him. And the main way we do that is through our actions. We can say we love God, but are we acting as people who love God? Tough message today. I'm not going to kid you. Tough message. But it's a good one, especially as we get into the latter part of the church year. All right. Listen, if you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Or you could just go to my website, followingthetruth.com. If you feel you'd like to make a donation to my ministry, I would really appreciate it. You can do that also at followingthetruth.com. You know what I always tell you as I sign off this program? You are in my prayers. I pray for you every day, and I greatly appreciate your prayers as well. It means a lot to me. I couldn't do it without you, and I definitely feel your prayers. So please, let's keep praying for one another, and let's try to look for those opportunities when we can build up our heavenly treasure as opposed to just using our intellect and our brains to make our life on earth more comfortable. You look at the life of Jesus, you look at the life of his mother, you look at the lives of the saints, they didn't have it easy, right? And we're called to imitate them. So I'm praying for you. Thank you for your prayers. And God willing, we'll get to do this again next week. God bless you. Have a good week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.